Good morning. You know that you're in freid from God ons in Foda and ons in Herrn, Jesus Christus. I call you all a heartily welcome heute to ons aandacht van Rosa Morris. We pray ons van jeda einem wat je komen as, dat as God zijn huis in de deres aan het op voor allem. We zijn nu in de adventiet en we willen ons van jou in je houden van waarom Jezus je komen is en ook dat we verabtjet je naar de tijd waar hij wat waar komen. Zo willen we aanvangen met een gebed. Lijf tol je God en voor de hemel. We danken die voor den schijnen dag wat u ons waar je schanken haast. Heer, we danken die voor het land waar we bijna wonen en dat we zet jana zo vredelijk toekomen. We danken die voor dien woord en we beden van jou, Heer, dat dien woord ook te waar te ons reden wordt. We beden ook voor die wat er schwaar beloden zijn. Of dat nu eerst door derg dat ze niet gezond zijn, dat ze vielleicht im hospital zijn, voor de oudere lied. We beden dat die heilende hand over de mocht zijn en zo'n tijd en op zo'n weg als wat anderen velen deed en wat dien willen is. Dan ons willen is niet allemaal dien willen. Maar wie weet je dat? Dat du weißt, wat beste is voor ons. En zo willen we ons handgeven en laten ons leiden en vieren van dienen heiligen Geest. En we beden, Heer, dat du, der ich mich van jou reden mocht, de weet wat wie van jou hier zullen. En dat wie door en ons geloven mochten, nur dan nur die getrokken worden en gestorkt worden en mochten in troost zijn aan een tot anderen. Dit beden we alles in Jezus' zijn naam. Amen. We waren nu een paar leider aan.
Take the red hymn book and turn to page 63. Joy to the world. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glory
. 77, blessed Christmas time. Number 77.
Blessed Christmas time, joyous Christmas time, bringing gladness o'er all the earth. Darkness abounded, light hath surrounded,
Savior's birth. Blessed Christmas time, joyous Christmas time, bringing gladness o'er all the earth. Angels in glory tell the sweet story, loudly proclaim the Savior's birth.
Ek hy van der jou wild entaxt ut dort wat Paulus schrift on Titus en tweede Titus vers 11 wat 14. Dan God sien is eilig merkende genood as voor alle mensen voor een dag gekomen. De leidt ons ook de godloze en weltliche leidenschaften of te zijn ons te beharschen en oprechtig en Gottesfürcht en Gottesfürchtlich in deze welt te leven. Wenn wie nu dezelfde hoopnung luren, dat ons grote God en Heiland Jezus Christus in Herrlichkeit komen wordt. Deze zelfs hand geef ons van alle ongerechtigheid te raden, om voor zich een volk te reinigen, dat hij zelfs eend en dat jere godet donovel. Paulus schrift is erweerd en hij zegt tot Titus, dood dat volk dit leren. Dood de mensen dat leren, dat Jezus is gekomen. Dood de mensen dat leren, dat is door God zijn grote genood. Zo van wie nu in deze tijd zijn, wil wie alle vooropkijken doen, naar de tijd wil wie Weihnachten vieren willen. Maar wie zijn dan ook, dat brengt ons dan ook de gedanke, dat Jezus wordt waar komen. Hij is in deze wereld neen gekomen, om ons de zeiligheid te brengen. Hij wordt niet bloos geboren, maar hij deed leren in de tijd wat hij hier op deze wereld via. Dat wir dan, als hij is geboren weer en hij nog maar ganz jong weer, dat zijn ouderen maar arm taub moesten naar Egypten vlechten, omdat arm niet schade wordt gedaan worden. En zo zei wie dat, dat er eerst niet veel van zijn leven geschreven, maar hij eerst aanvang de mensen te leren. Maar hij naar de taufe kwam voor Johannes. En Johannes am diepe deid. En als hij eerst je diep weer, dan zag ik dan staat, dan wordt hij in de wistenis naar je leid van de geest om arm te prieven. Om arm te proeven waar hij stonden wordt. En wie weet dat, dat hij de stond vast. Hij stond op God zijn woord. En als de Zoton hem afproven deed, dan leerde hij immerwaarder den Zoton met God zijn woord. God zijn woord is een zeer krachtig ding. Dat heeft zoveel kracht dat wie als mensen dat verke gewoon niet ganz vollständig verstaan kunnen. Dat redt zo gelektouw over dag en zo'n grote lijf, omdat wij zullen kunnen verstaan dat God is een God van gerechtigheid. Hij is een God wat de mensen werkelijk leefhaft. Hij is een God die alle dag bij ons is. Wij gaan eenmaal door de tijden door in dit leven, wat wij zo denken, wo ist Gott? Dort ist vielleicht in einer schweren Zeit. Wo wann wir die Titel sind durchgegangen, Dan, wann wir trägtje, dann tja wir seine, dort Gott wir doa and ei tiet. Gott, de nomans derch de tiet derch. Aber wann wir nicht trägtje am te seine, wat Gott alles für uns jedona haft, hier in dieser tiet, wat wir hier ab dieser Welt leben dönne, dann lieben wir auch völker nicht dankbar zu sein. Dann lieben wir völker, dass wir alle uns in einen Weich auch noch wieder haben. Und wenn wir mit so einem Gedanken vorabgehen, dann sind wir völker verdresslich und unzufrieden. Gott ist gekommen, um uns die Seligkeit zu bringen. Er sagt, dass wir Gott seine seelig merkende Genot, was für alle Menschen für einen Tag gekommen wäre, Die Genot, die kommt für alle Menschen. Die kommt Frieden zu bringen auf dieser Welt. Die kommt die Menschen zu lehren. Von der können wir uns die Frage stellen, lüe wie nur diesem Erleiser. Die Menschen aus Eier Jesus kommen, da wäre so eine, die lüde. Die lüde nur Jesus, dort er so kommen, dann die Welt, die wir in einer distre Zeit. Von der auch, wenn wir Ramans Tschetje dann, wir können sagen, die Welt als eine distre Zeit. Wir hören von, so Jesus sei das, in Matthäus 24 und so auch in Lukas 21, wo er redet hat von der letzten Zeit. Und er lehrt uns da, dass er wird Krieg sein und er wird nicht schreck sein von Krieg. Er lehrt uns da, dass die Menschen ihre Leib, die wird kalt worden. Er lehrt uns da, dass die Menschen, die waren frie und die waren wahre frie. Wie sehen wir dort, dass in der Zeit, was wir leben, ist dort zu sein, alle Wehe. Die Leib, die wird kalt. Die Menschen, die haben nicht mehr der rechte Leib einer Familie. Nicht mehr zwischen den Ehepaar, ist dort der rechte Leib. Was meint dort, wenn wir der rechte Leib haben? Der rechte Leib hat immer bewiesen, dass wir einer den anderen vergeben können. Wenn wir nicht einer den anderen vergeben, dann waren wir besser. Und wenn wir besser waren, dann fühlen wir uns nicht gut mit uns selbst. Und dann sind wir auch nicht ein gutes Vorbild für andere Menschen. Die Betternis, die lädt Menschen weich von einer Gemeinschaft haben mit anderen Menschen. Einmal, dann sei wir dort, dass dort jemand durch aufganzt. Wenn Menschen aufjanzig sind, von was der Nächste tät oder von was der Nächste haft, dann will die dort auch haben. Und am ersten Fläche bin ich gejäft. Und so wird er dann aufjanzig. Er kämpft dort, dass er demjenigen nicht vergeben kann. Er wird besser. Und er kann nicht gut mit anderen Menschen allein kommen. Das auch ist eine distre Zeit. Und wir sehen dort, dass es Jesus sagt, dass der Leib mancher Menschen wird kalt worden. Das ist ein von den Dingen, was der Leib mancher Menschen kalt merken hat. Dort ist den Aufgang einer nur den anderen. Aber die Seligkeit, die ist gekommen für alle Menschen. Jesus kam, um uns die Seligkeit zu bringen. Und die Seligkeit, dort hat Jesus uns gelehrt, dort hat Johannes gelehrt, er sagt, Dort wo sie dann das Himmelreich aus dich bie. All dort lehde sei, aber wo stand dort da wein an dei Tiet? Wann wie nur dort Evangelium Johannes gone, da sei wie dort, dat Johannes de lehde da von dei Tiet, wat Jesus komme deit. Und in den ersten Kapitel, dat vierte und dat fünfte Vers, da sag ich dat so. En arm wir leif, dat redt hier von Jesus. En dat lewe wir dat Licht, entschuldig mich, en arm wir lewe, en dat lewe wir dat Licht für die Menschen. Dat Licht, dat schien in der Distanis, aber die Distanis haf dat nicht verstohne. Ab Englisch sag ich dat, the darkness received it not. Hier sag ich dat, die verstünde dat nicht. Wenn die Distanis dat nicht versteht, wenn die Distanis dat Licht nicht annimmt, dann bleibt dat Distan. Dann erst du nicht die Live. Jesus aber kam, um dort hei dat Licht wird sanne. Und wenn wir da nu an denken würden, wenn der diese Stofchen ein Fenster hatte und wie der alle dicht haben, und wie hier kein Licht mehr hatte, dort wird hier dies da sein. Aber nu haben wir Fenster und wir haben Licht. Und wenn wir dort Licht anzwitschen, dann verjährt die Distanis. Und Jesus, der kam in diese Welt nahm, und dort wir, so als wenn er ein Licht anzwitschen hat, um dort so Hoffnung zu sein für die Menschen, dass er dort würde gerne verstehen, wie viel Leib er für ihn hat. Um dort sei sich würde gerne auch einer den anderen die Leib bewiesen. Und wenn wir Jesus in der Zeit betrachten, wir sehen dort, dass da wieder sehr viele Menschen, die kommen noch arm und die wollen seine Lehre hören. Sie wollen tun, was er an Lehre deit. Aber da wieder auch Söhne, die schafft bloß jen an. Und woran schafft er sie, so sei er jen an? Dort wir waren, dort aufganzt. Sie wir aufjanstig von Jesus. Und da wenn Leute sei, dort Licht nicht bei ahnen ankommen. Und so lebe ich als dort ein großes Port von der Welt, wo wir nun beinahe wohnen dann. Wenn Paulus da schriebe der zu Titus und sagt, der Tit ist dies da. In großer Port von dort aus du erwähnt, dass der Leib wird kalt. Wie weiter dort, dass Jesus seine Leib wie niemals kalt. Seine Leib, die jenke rührt nur alle Menschen. Die probt alle Menschen zu verstehen. Die trägt alle Menschen nach sich. Hei hoppen dort zu sein, dort Gott will anraden. Hei will anraden von dieser düsteren Welt. Und dort wir woran Jesus seine Gnod in diese Welt ankommen deit. Und die Gnod, die lehrt uns. Die lehrt uns, dass wir sollen dort Gottlose aufsehen. Dort wie soll er ne sei der Tau, und dort wie soll er klar denken. Dort wie soll er denken an, was von der großen Leib wirklich für uns gehört hat. Gott für uns gehört hat. Und er auch noch für uns von dort und da hat. Und wie soll er auch noch wieder von dort reden? Aber ich will wieder zu Eva gehen, wo wir erst die Gelegenheit nehmen, im Stallen zu gehen, en God te danken. Dat hij ons heeft de grote genade laten in deze wereld aankomen door Jezus Christus. En dat we werkelijk kunnen vrede hebben, einer met den anderen. Door dat we einer den anderen vergeven kunnen. Zo wanneer je de gezondheid hebt, wel we op je beurt naar je wonen en wel we beden in naam Jezus. Mocht de Heer ons je beden erheren.
Take the blue book and turn to page 82, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Number 82.
But in this world,
As I shared with you earlier in the German, from Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14, I wish to reread those verses again, as I want to continue using that as our text for this morning. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now I spoke in the German, basically on verse 11, how the grace of God has appeared, that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, and that salvation will bring us peace. But as we continue from there and we look into verse 12, and he talks about that what this grace and what this gift of salvation does to mankind. He says it teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. When we look at this present world, we can say with Paul, as he writes to the Galatians, and he already wrote it this way then, Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4, where he talks about this present evil world. Not just this world, but this present evil world. Now, we are living in a time where God's grace is truly there for everybody. It has been there for everybody ever since the time Jesus gave himself to be crucified on the cross. It is available to all. But as it was in the days of Jesus, people did not receive it. Some did, and some did not. And it is the same way for us today. So we need to be taught. We need to be taught about this grace, but we also need to be taught that we deny ungodliness. When Paul writes to the Ephesians, he writes to them about a spiritual battle. In Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 12, he says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." We wrestle not against flesh and blood. He gives this the comparison of, you know, we sometimes, I don't know that I have ever had, but sometimes people have had a physical fight where they're angry with one another, they start hitting each other, and they fight this physical fight. But Paul says the fight that we are fighting is not a physical fight. It is a spiritual fight. It is because we are wrestling with our nature. Our fleshly nature, it has this desire to please itself, so that we will please ourselves. It does not have the desire to truly please God or to truly please others, not our fleshly nature. But when we have that renewing of the mind, when we have been renewed through Jesus Christ, then we begin to think spiritually. And it is through that spiritual thinking that we overcome those fleshly desires, and that we overcome selfishness, that we overcome the envying that I spoke about earlier, but much rather that we seek what is right and what is good for others. What is right in the eyes of God. And so we have this struggle where we have a fight within ourselves often. What is God's will for me? As I was working more with the young people, youth and young adults, and so forth, that was very often the question that people would ask. What is God's will for me? They often thought of, what is God's will for me as far as a career goes? Or where they should live? How they should live life here on earth? And I don't know that I could ever give them an answer as to what they should do in those aspects. But my answer was always to seek God, to seek what God's will is for you. And the one thing that I know is God's will for you is that you are faithful to Him. That is God's will. That you seek first of all your salvation, and then you seek to live faithful in that salvation. And I believe that that holds true even as we get older. That we need to have our salvation grounded, and that we need to remain faithful in that salvation to wherever God leads and directs us. And so we have this struggle within, but we know that with that struggle, God is greater. Jesus says, or John writes, He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. So we know that when we have God within us, then he, God's Spirit, is greater than he that is in this world. So when we seek to be taught, when we seek to live soberly, we need to think things through properly. And we need to think things through in a way where we ask God, what is your will for me? What is it that you want me to do? When we think soberly, it is the opposite of drunkenness. And so we know how a drunken person, you know, I've seen it where they first get happy and they don't really care what they say. They just allow to flow out of their mouth whatever comes. And then as they go deeper into that, you know, they become miserable. But we are to think soberly. Those people don't think. But we are to think about how we conduct ourselves, how we live our life. And that we will conduct ourselves in a way so that it will be pleasing to God. That is living soberly. Because we know that in this world, there is a lot of darkness. There is a lot of unrighteousness. And we need to stand as a light before them, before this world, so that others may be able to see what it is that God requires of us. We see that Jesus, he taught us And he showed us by his life what righteousness was. And in John chapter 15 and verse 22, he says this, "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin." He is speaking here to the people that do not really want to receive him as their gift of salvation. And he says, but you know, I came and I showed them what righteousness was. I taught them how to live righteous by example and also by word. And now the sin has been revealed. It has been shown to them. And because the sin has been revealed and shown to them, they now don't have a cloak to cover their sin. But it is out in the open. We sometimes seek to hide our sin. We seek to cover it. But in reality, we can't. Because you know what? We cannot hide our sin from ourselves. If we try to hide our sin from ourselves, it makes ourselves miserable. And when we are miserable, it makes others miserable. So we know that when sin is revealed to us in our lives, it is important for us not to try to hide it, but much rather to repent of it, to turn to God and to allow him to cleanse us from the unrighteousness that is in our life. And when we do that, it is that which brings us hope. And that is what our text also speaks about, that we look for that blessed hope. That blessed hope only comes because we have salvation. It does not come without that. But we then look for that salvation. As I said earlier, we are living in this present evil world. And Jesus, when he prepared the people for the time of his departure and he told them of the things that would come in the latter days, and I talked about some of them before, but when he had told them about that, he says to them in Luke chapter 21, verses 27 and 28, "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." All these things that Jesus has talked about before this, and I talked about some of them before, where there is wars and rumors of wars, where there is marriage and remarriage, where there is homosexuality, and where there are pestilences and all these different things. He says, when you see these things coming, then lift up your heads. Don't go into despair, but look up. Look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. It is Christ, when he returns. And you know, in this last week, I've been at three different funerals. And I have another one coming this next week. And we know that Jesus comes. He comes and he takes people. He takes them one at a time. But the day will come. that he will take all those who have put their faith in him. Do we look forward to that day? There is no reason why we should not. If we have put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, then let's look forward with anticipation. That is what Jesus is saying here. Look forward. Don't look back at all the bad things that have happened, but rather look forward in hope. Paul writes about this hope in Romans chapter 5. Where he talks about he talks first of all in chapter 4 about faith and how people need to come to faith, and how Abraham, he walked by faith, and that it was imputed to him for righteousness. And then he says of Jesus, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And this is the reason that we have hope, because Jesus was delivered for our offenses. He paid for our sins. And then he says in chapter 5, therefore being justified by faith, again that word faith, do we have that faith? He says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. To Titus, Paul writes of this grace that has come to all men. Here, Paul says that by faith and by hope, and because we are in this grace, we rejoice in hope, because it is that which gives us the hope. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. How many of us glory when times are hard? He says we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Through tribulations, we learn things. When things don't go my way, I know I need help. I know I need to turn to God. And it is through that that I get hope. And I can go forward in that hope. And then he says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for me. Do I have that hope? Do I have that hope that Christ died for me? If we have that hope, then we have no reason to despair, but we can look forward with anticipation. And I want to read a few more verses out of Romans chapter 8. Which also speak of hope. Romans chapter 8, verses 22 to 25. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We are waiting. When we have our salvation and we are right with God, we are waiting for that adoption, for that redemption of our body. Our soul has been redeemed, but now we are waiting for the redemption of our body as well, where, yes, our physical body will be laid in the grave, but we will be given a new body. We will be with Jesus. And he says about this, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." So this morning, I want to encourage us. Let us look to Jesus, not only as a small child. Yes, we are celebrating his birth, but we are also already celebrating his coming again. When we have hope, we can celebrate already that Jesus will come. He will receive me into heaven's glory. And it is my desire that each and every one of us will go forward with that hope. At this Christmas season, as we celebrate together and we get together with family, friends, may we be that encouragement to each other. And may we share that hope one with another. In closing, let us pray. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you that you allowed him to come into this world and that he allowed himself to be ridiculed, to suffer, to die, to resurrect, to ascend into heaven and to be at your right hand. And from there, he is interceding for us. And Lord, we thank you for that intercession that he makes for us. For we so often feel weak. We feel that we cannot pray to such an almighty God in the right words. But your word assures us that the Spirit and Jesus intercede for us and bring those words just right before you. We thank you for that. And we pray, Lord, that we will, that will give us joy and rejoice in knowing that there is a door that is open for us, that when life here on earth is over, we can enter into eternal glory. But Lord, we also know that in order for us to receive that, we need to put our faith and our trust fully in you. And may this Advent season help us to see that you have done so much for us, that it is a gift that we cannot buy, a gift that we can not, so to say, give to another person, other than that through the light that we shine in this dark world. And so we pray, Lord, that we will let that light shine and that others may see and honor and glorify our Father in heaven. And so, Lord, we pray for our country, we pray for our leaders, we pray for the countries that are at war, we pray for Israel and Palestine, we pray for Ukraine and Russia and many other areas where there is such unrest. We pray that you will be a comfort and a strength to the innocent people, and that you, in some way, will allow the leaders of those countries to be able to receive you as their Lord and Savior, so that they too can find peace. For we know if there would be peace in the leaders of the country, there would be peace amongst the people. And so we pray for that peace within the leaders of our country as well, that you would help them to recognize your love for them. You have ordained them, Lord, but we pray that they would receive Jesus and that by your word they would lead and guide and direct the country. And we pray for wisdom for the church as well, that as a church we may remain steadfast and true to you and lead people to you, not to us as another person, as a minister or leadership in the church, but to you, Lord. For that is where true salvation really is. And so we thank you for giving us that gift, and we pray that we may honor and praise you for all that you have done and are doing for us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. This time we want to once more give the opportunity and privilege to go in silence, and if you have the health, let's go on bended knee and pray in the name of Jesus. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
Take the blue hymn book again and turn to page 85. There's a song in the air. 85.
There's a song in the air, there's a star in the sky, there's a mother's deep prayer, and a baby's low cry, and the stars ring.
Morning. For anyone that's considering baptism this year, we, the local ministerial, would like to encourage you to attend baptism classes. And I believe they're starting January 9th. If you have questions, you can contact me or any of the local ministerial. And just a reminder that Monday, December 25th, there will only be one service at 10 a.m., and we will have a guest speaker, Wes Heppner. Thank you.
I want to thank you all for coming and being a part of our worship service this morning. In closing, I want to leave you with a benediction out of Romans 15, verses 5 and 6. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. From our family to yours, I would like to wish you all a blessed Christmas season. Thank you for coming. May God bless you.